Blog Talk Radio.
Blessings and greetings. Greetings and blessings. We're live because we're intending to stay alive in the most existential moment when the intent has been configured to toward Chaim, instructions of life, toward Chesed, toward kindness, toward Rachem, instructions of mercy. You're now tuned into Blog Talk Radio. We humbly assert we have a higher inner frequency. We call ourselves Soul Talk. That's Soul Talk number 8. Soul Talk number 814. Proverbs, teachings to access wisdom and righteousness. Presentation number 31. Baruch Hashem, Slava Boga, blessed is our eternal creator, Shalom, peace, and bracha, blessing upon the entire human family condition. With the Creator's help, we're broadcasting right now on March 7th, 2024. It's now 11:04 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, live from Turner Island, equals a.k.a. the USA Unified Soul Actualization. And essential a topic will be for discussion, sharing the oral and written Torah traditions regarding King Solomon's Proverbs, one of the most powerful teachings from the Israelite Tanakh Torah prophet's holy writings. Our calling number, if you want to make the program a little bit more organic, is 563-999-3688. That's 563-999-3688. And we're also integrating hopefully a new listening audience, whether it be live or the archive version on Facebook. I'm broadcasting live. We're going a couple more minutes longer than this Block Talk Radio presentation, but that's okay. And we're being joined today by our co-host, teacher, student, disseminator of the teachings of the Neshra, Gold of the Great Eagle, Rambam, Moshe Ben Maimon, Maimonides. Good morning, Dennis. Dennis, you should be on. Well, Don's Law has kicked in again like Murphy's Law. And Dennis is on. And I'm going to take him off, try to put him back on. Let's see if we can get him back on. Dennis, are you there?
Dennis. I am here, Don. And I'm ready to discuss any topic with all our listeners.
And we have the Blog Talk Radio audience, and now we're integrating the Facebook audience, but for some reason I lost my option to a live broadcast via TikTok. And also I want to proclaim cheerfully, with a good heart and good hope, that the human family condition has once again spiked up. For every person who's passed on to the next level of life at the kinetic count on worldometers.info/world-population/ of the 77 plus thousand who have passed on to the next level of life, more than 170,000 have been born, giving proof time after time. There's more than a 2-to-1 ratio of people being born to people passing on to the next level of life, and hopefully this will be instructive and cause those who are eugenicists, which to me is a satanic process, and social engineers who are following in the whims of their own human intellect, and human intellect we humbly submit without the guidance of divine teachings. And you have to just dice and slice what you consider to be divine teaching. But as we of Israel call it the Torah, you have your own faith, whatever. You don't have to be Jewish to listen to this program. You have to just be a human with a Tzelem Elohim, a divine image, which every human being possesses, a divine image. So Dennis, as we progress, and we're seeing now 8,100,000,000 people plus, what is the message today in terms of something that happened, I believe, on Friday morning in New Jersey, which is a state adjacent to where we live in New York State? I in Crown Heights. I think you're in Long Island City, if I'm not mistaken. You'll correct me if I'm wrong after I finish my opening monologue. But there was an earthquake, and there were two earthquakes. I hear there was perhaps one today. Now, I personally didn't feel it in my office, yet someone 15 feet away felt it. My wife felt it. She thought the washer-dryer above us in our apartment was shaking the house. I had a worker who came in from riding the Q train from Crown Heights to Flatbush, where we're based on our business, our social service organization. And he said, "Did you feel the earthquake?" I said, "What earthquake?" He said, "You don't know about the earthquake?" And he was kind of pale-faced because apparently on the train he was on, it was shaking during the earthquake for that 10 or plus seconds, whatever it was. So Dennis, my small man conjecture is that some people had to feel the earth shake, but those who didn't feel the earth shake, or the earthquake as they call it, I would say because we're already aware of the fact that, and it's not a great consciousness level, but we already realize the world is quaking before the times of universal redemption, because it's just not acceptable that there continues to be hatred, jealousy, and unreasonable competition, one human to the other. And, of course, there's still plenty of war in the world. So Dennis' take on this, the idea of an earthquake, I'm going to share a little bit after your comment, teaching from Lubavitch Rebbe, about what's the instruction from an earthquake. So my first question, did you feel the earthquake Friday, Dennis, on Friday morning?
Yes, I did.
Okay.
And it was interesting because it was along a normal fault line that runs through northern New Jersey and goes upstate New York. This fault line has been there for thousands of years. Every once in a while, it gives a little shake. But we normally get it where we're less than 1%. So we don't normally feel it quake, even though we get two or three of these every day in New York. So it depends if you were moving or if you were standing still. If you were moving, you probably didn't feel a shake too much. But if you were lying down, standing still, you could feel a little sway in the crust of the earth.
Well, thank you, Dennis. And also, I'm very happy we started this new option of broadcasting our show on Facebook, because I just got a text from a Jocelyn Kamadavid way out in the Philippines shouting out greetings. So Drussel and Kama David, welcome. If you want to join it, I don't know if you can afford it, or maybe, I don't know how you can, aside from texting, how you can come onto the program through Facebook, but our phone number again is 563-999-3688. If you have an international calling card, then certainly you're most welcome to call in and comment your, or state your concerns about what we're trying to do. So Dennis, Lubavitcher Rebbe in 1990 spoke about the idea that, you know, the earth is reacting according to the instructions of the Almighty, but the earth is also reacting in terms of how humans are conducting themselves, because there were certain blessings that were implanted within the earth that it will have some sort of reaction to human goodness and the opposite of human goodness. And the Rebbe mentioned in 1990 that an earthquake is a message from the Creator that something is not pleasing him. So for whatever reason, there was an earthquake here in New Jersey, and the aftershocks of the actual earthquake was felt in New York City. I don't know if it reached Pennsylvania, I'll be quite honest with you. My brother lives out by the Pennsylvania border. He felt it because it was in New Jersey. But basically, a natural disaster in the terms of an earthquake is indicative of some sort of displeasure from above that we need to change our ways. But anyway, we will promote the idea that the earth is quaking and shaking, whether it be a revealed earthquake or a spiritual earthquake, until there's an end of hatred, jealousy, and war upon this earth. And human beings do have the means now, logistically speaking, to make sure that everyone gets a bounty in the creation, some more, some less, but everyone should be able to be fed and access to proper water. It's just the distribution systems, and unfortunately we have social engineers and eugenicists still, you know, mingling into the mix of human dialogue and trying to convince people there's too many people or just not worth to invest in other parts of the world, where perhaps that very investment could bring salvation to the world, to an area where there is not getting proper nutrition and food and all different types of resources to help people live their lives in a dignified and safe and peaceful manner. Your take on these matters, Dennis?
Well, your explanation of a warning is somewhat correct, because why would it lie still for many, many years and all of a sudden shake things up? So that's Mother Nature, or God, our Creator, who's in control of Mother Nature. We humans have no control over Mother Nature. But that discussion of last week that I have to clear up, because I have a conscience problem, and that is, when we were talking about ethics, there's two general rules. One is positive, one is negative. The positive one is be good. Everybody knows what that means. The negative one is a little different, sometimes controversial, and that is do no harm. It's a warning, like an earthquake. So are these things, ideas, interrelated? They are associated, because we're all humans, and we're all subject to whatever God wants. It's his plan, and we follow. So therefore, we must be more attentive to what is going on in the world and happening to humanity. So, yes, it was a little shakeup, a little stronger than normal, but it was still there. So this is to remind people how fragile our life, our humanity on the planet is. At any time, we can have a disaster. Does that mean it's good or bad? Or is it a message of warning that we must do better? Can we do better? I believe we can. So to me, it's an encouragement to do better and to do no harm. So we must all live together. Doesn't mean happily, but we can live together and do no harm.
Well, hopefully, if we can live together, eventually, maybe not in the beginning, because it might be uncomfortable, just like sometimes a person feels uncomfortable putting on a pair of shoes that are actually their size, but they're a little stiff. So some people might be constrained by this whole idea of universal cooperation upon the four corners of the earth. However, once one gets used to it, we see that people become more flexible via their daily, weekly, monthly, yearly interactions, whatever level of interactions there are between two people. Dennis, I'd like to turn to something we talked about last week and go a little bit more into it, based on the teachings of Rambam. Again, I mentioned it as before the program. I think it's high time that there is an insertion into the dialogue of what is redemption for human beings, all of us being human and all of us have a divine image, to start to contemplate, and we humbly suggest that it's coming from Torah teachings. I don't know where it's coming from other sources, but I do know that there is a source for redemption in the Christian faith and in the Islamic faith. I don't really know about the other faiths in general. Those are the three general faiths that most people associate with some sort of faith-based system. And we're going to see eventually in the time of the redemption, according to Rambam, which talks about that the nation of Israel will be able to focus all their attention on solely on the study of Torah without having to worry about their livelihood. And Rambam, in his concluding law, in the Laws of Kings and Their Wars, Jewish Kings, says the following: the sages and prophets did not yearn for the Messianic era, only to be free to involve themselves in Torah, which is, according to our tradition, you know, the divine instruction and wisdom, without any precious disturbances. In that era, there will be neither famine or war, envy or competition, for good will flow in abundance, and all the delights will be freely available as dust. Then the Rambam concludes, the occupation of the whole world, which includes all the nations of the world in this generation, the occupation of the entire world is slowly to know God. And this is Rambam Hilchos Malachim, again, the Laws of King. This is chapter 12, Laws 4 and 5. So Dennis, this is kind of another way of looking at the times that we're looking forward to. But again, some people are inserting all types of blood and destruction and wiping out of this and wiping out of that. But in the very fact that we've got to 8,100,000 people, the Rebbe once said, I mean, he said this in the early 80s, redemption doesn't have to be predicated upon wiping out billions and billions of people. Human cooperation, which again might seem a little bit tough in the beginning because we have to overcome our cultural differences. However, there are basic principles of human decency or ethics, as you mentioned earlier. We mentioned last week, and we hope to continue a little bit after this brief discussion. So Dennis, how can we encourage people to consider that we don't have to go to hell to get to heaven? In terms of, we don't have to suffer anymore in this creation to get to the times where there'll be no more jealousy, hatred, or unwarranted competition, one human being to another, according to the teachings of Rambam, which no one disagrees with him, according to the Jewish sages.
With Rambam, you must control your feelings, your sentiment, your thoughts towards other humans. We cannot go about it as though we are a castle by ourselves. We are all part of humanity, and humanity is controlled by God. He created us, and we are here. It's only a matter of time before we all understand his humanity. Do we have to argue about everything? Can we get by without arguing? Can we control our temper? When we get mad, do we fly off the handle? Do we say things we don't mean? Do we think differently? When you can't control your feelings, you forget your surroundings. You forget why your Creator put you here. You forget the rest of humanity. You're only thinking about yourself. And how are you going to protect yourself? By getting mad at everybody else? We can always have our differences. We are human. We can discuss our differences. But when we feel like we have to take action that creates bad things and does harm to other people, then it is no longer a good avenue of breaking down humanity so we can all agree on something. We must be able to control our feelings, because our feelings are the feelings of being selfish. And we always think that we have to protect ourselves, but we don't think about protecting humanity. We say, oh, we want to be good, but that's good just in my circle, my sphere. No, all humans want to be good. Way down deep, there is a need to be good. But what happens is we can't control our feelings and other things that interfere with being good. We need God, but we need his principles. We have to explain to people the difference between good and bad. It's not a switch. You always live with it. It's your conscience. You can't turn it off and on. It's always there. It's going to remind you. Did you do a good thing? Did you do a bad thing? Well, we can come up with 50 million excuses. But we have to do away with the excuses to understand why humanity was put on the earth. We must be able to understand that God gave us the freedom to do certain things. We can be free to do those things. But that doesn't mean we're free to do bad things. Is it enough to say that we're free to do good things? Yes. Can you live with good things? Yes. Can your conscience? So the whole idea is don't do any harm. We must stay good. To be good is not easy. You must work at it every day. It doesn't come up on even our odd days. It doesn't happen in certain months. All year round, we are hoping that you will do good for humanity. And if you don't wake up with that idea, then what idea are you thinking in place? We live for what God put us on earth for, and that is to be humans. We have our faults. We're not perfect. That doesn't mean we can't try to be better and good at the same time. God bless us all.
Amen. Thank you, Dennis. I'd like to move on to something we started last week. And again, this will include the explanations of the Nesher Gadol, the great eagle Rambam, concerning Pirkei Avos, which is also known as the Ethics of the Fathers. And it's considered to be actually the first chassidut, the first interdimensional teachings that was revealed to the masses, as opposed to, say, like the Zohar and other forms of what we call Kabbalah, which have been held back from the masses until a person gets to a level of purification. However, since the 15th century, the latter part of the 15th century, the Arizal, Luria, wrote that it's a mitzvah now, it's a commandment to reveal this hidden knowledge. But back then, we're talking back to 1800 years ago when this teaching was revealed as follows. This is chapter 1 of Ethics of the Fathers. Antigonus of Sokol, a certain city, received the oral tradition from Shimon the Righteous. Now Shimon was one of the last men of the Great Assembly, which is referring to, these were like the end of the era of the prophets of Mordechai and Daniel, and Ezra, the scribe. So he used to say, do not be like servants who serve their master for the sake of receiving a grant, but rather like servants who serve their master without the intent of receiving a grant, and let the fear of heaven be upon you. So Rambam comments that this idea of don't seek out a grant for your service to the Almighty, that this is a reward which a person is endowed when he performs a deed that he is not obligated to perform. For example, a person who tells his servant, his youngest son or his wife, do this and do that, and I will give you remuneration, I will give you payment. For a reward is given for fulfilling an obligation. But the pious man Antigonus teaches, do not serve God for the sake of the beneficence and kindness he will grant you. He will grant, but not... Your first intent should not be just to seek to be paid from the Creator, for then you are pursuing compensation and carrying out your service for its sake. Instead, serve him as do servants who are not concerned with the kindness and good that they receive. His intention is that one should serve God out of love, as explained in the 10th chapter of the Talmudic tractate, Sanhedrin. Now, despite this stress on love, he did not free his disciples from the obligation of fear. That is, Antigonus was a wise man. In his day, he emphasized that although you serve God with love, you should not neglect fear entirely. And rather, as it said in the teaching of the ethics of our fathers, let the fear of heaven be upon you. For the Torah also includes a commandment, to fear as is written, and you shall fear the Lord your God. And that is written in Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 13. And our sages said, in the Jerusalem Talmud, serve him with love and serve him with fear. And it said, one who loves God will not neglect the commandment, and one who fears God will not transgress his warning. Thus, fear plays a great role as a spur to the observance of the negative commandments through those mitzvahs that emphasize obedience, meaning, for instance, not to serve an idol, not to commit adultery, not to steal. Unfortunately, though, in the time of Antigonus, he had two students, Tzadok and Boethus. When they heard this teaching, they departed his presence without understanding, and his tent said what his intent was to each other. So they claimed, the master said there is no reward nor punishment nor hope. They continued speaking to each other until they denied the Torah. To each was attracted a following, whom the sages referred to as the Sadducees and the Boethusians. When they saw that they cannot draw the masses to the faith that they had conceived, for these wicked individuals created division amongst those united instead of joining together those dispersed, they changed tactics and declared the truth of the written Torah. They cannot deny it before the masses. Indeed, had they denied its truth, they would have been executed. Each of them tried to create an impression among his followers that he believed in the written Torah, but challenged the oral tradition, saying it was not genuine, the intent being to free themselves of the restrictions. And the mitzvah was transmitted through that tradition and the rabbinic decrees and enactments. But they saw that it was impossible for them to renounce the totality of our heritage, the written law and the oral tradition. Going further, moreover, this approach left room for interpretations. For there is no accepted interpretation transmitted by tradition, but latter, the matter is left to the will. So there were interpretations, but not according to the traditions of the nation of Israel amongst the Jewish people. One can be lenient when one desires and stringent when one desires, according to one's intents, since one does not believe in the fundamental matter at all. In this manner, they sought an approach that would be attractive to certain people. And from these basically two cults arose, to follow by other groups of non-believers, including those who are called Karaites in this land, which is in Egypt, where the Rambam was living at the time. The sages referred to these types of deviants with the general term Sadducees and Boethusians. These are individuals who sought to question the oral tradition and to interpret the verses as they saw fit without listening to the wise men at all, disregarding God's directive, which is in chapter 17, verse 11, which says that act according to the laws which you will be instructed, the judgments that will be told you, meaning the wise in each generation. And do not deviate from the word that you will be told, right or left. So we have a lot here to present, Dennis, and I'm sure this is your processing. Any idea which you see that why it is a struggle for people to serve, you know, out of its own sake, but rather they should seek reward. But when certain people are told don't serve for reward, they might just reject the whole. They might throw out the baby with the bathwater. Any take on these matters?
Yes, we humans have some bad habits. And one of the worst habits that we have, and people don't realize it, is somebody comes out with an idea, and the other person says, what's in it for me? Are we always looking for something, for an edge? Do we expect to be paid for everything? Do we expect to live for money? Do we live for riches? If you were the richest person in the world, would you be any happier than you are now? That requires a lot of thought because you have to give up a lot of other things to attain certain values. What we don't realize that all humans should be gratified. Gratified that we're on earth and ready to prove ourselves to our Creator that we can handle whatever problem comes our way. We're not looking for a deal. What's in it for me? In other words, God isn't worth it unless he's paying me. Are you looking for money from God? That's a little strange. He doesn't print it. Governments do. What happens is you're part of humanity, and you will exist whether governments come or go. God is always with us. We cannot go with temporary values that gives us personal feelings that we're doing better. Wouldn't you rather accumulate a lot of good things than a lot of money? Now, some people say, yes, but I'd be happier with a lot of money. Don't believe it. You have as many problems with money as you have without money. Why? Humanity doesn't change. We are constantly using standards that don't fit our objectives of why we were put on earth. We were put on here to love God and everything he created. We have a problem with that because someone will say in the audience, but what is in it for me? Oh, they want a personal deal? You think you're special? You're part of humanity. Live with it. Breathe it. We cannot from humanity. It's embedded in all our DNA. We are part of one species. We are part of the human species. There may be many different tribes. That doesn't break up our humanity at all. We have different ways of looking at things. But when it comes down to it, we must have some gratification that relates to our Creator. If we don't, then we are making up our own gratification. Why? The species that we're using for money, cash, that's in the bank, you live for that. You go to bed each night thanking how much money you have. Wouldn't you rather have a lot of good thoughts and accumulation of doing a lot of good things that was helpful, mindful, and in the ways of our Creator? We cannot go our separate ways from the Creator. We are humans, and we must start practicing our humanity. Love our Creator, love one another, and love everything that God has created.
Amen. Thank you, Dennis. That was very potent. I'd like to, before, as a preface to the teaching of King Solomon, again, segueing back to someone I've quoted on numerous occasions in the last almost 14 years of doing this broadcast on Blog Talk Radio. It's here on Facebook and TikTok, whatever. So Elijah the prophet declared, since we're talking, we've been talking about how beginning of the program that there is traditions that human conduct can affect the way the earth is going to react or not react or quake or not quake. But Elijah declared, I call heaven and earth to bear witness. That's not just allegorical. The earth and heaven are witnesses to a prophet. This is the prophet Israel. Maybe there are prophets from other faiths that talk about the same thing. But he says, I call heaven and earth to bear witness to anyone, Jew or Gentile, or B'nai Noach, children of Noah, man or woman, servant or maidservant. If his or her deeds are worthy, the divine spirit will rest upon him or her. So I want to use that as a preparation, as we're about to engage soon, in a few moments, the book of Proverbs from King Solomon. It is an act to activate your mind to want to process these teachings, to access them, to think about them, to ask questions about them. You might not have a chance to ask questions to us, but there are other places you can go online, whether it be rabbis or there are other scholars who are not called rabbis, you know, the people that know how to learn. And you might want to turn to your Christian faith, your Islamic faith, your Jewish faith, or Hindu faith, whatever you dice and slice your real spirituality with, but you, through your acts, and they are worthy, in merit to something that was called Ruach HaKodesh, divine inspiration, because there have been prophets for the nations, there have been people of the nations who have a divine inspiration that can give insight to human beings. And I can give, you know, three examples of them and their predecessors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who were preceded by Methuselah and Noah and Enoch, or Hanoch, followed by Seth, going back to Adam, the original human being, according to the Torah tradition. So we see that they transmitted out, and we as Jews didn't really become Jews until we accepted the Ten Commandments at Mount Sinai as a national entity, fully congealed. We were like sort of like in the fetal stage, from the time of Abraham to the time of Mount Sinai, which took place 3,300 and almost 36 years ago. So I want to call on Dennis I think you've heard this teaching before, Dennis, from the prophet Elijah, who did quite miraculous things because of his sense of attentiveness and devotion to the Creator, that as a preface to learning about Proverbs, which is teachings from one of the wisest people that ever lived on the face of the earth, is that you can approach these teachings or whatever you dice and slice out of your own spirituality, the divine spirit, you can experience it if you're taking good human ethical action to take on these matters, Dennis.
Well, we must remember that we are individuals, but we're part of humanity. And in that humanity, two examples. And most people somehow forgot about it, or they don't remember it. It's called Sodom and Gomorrah. Those two cities sort of disappeared from history. Why? We were told they weren't doing good things there. But we felt a little earthquake, and a lot of people who felt the shaking are wondering, maybe I did something wrong, maybe I did something right. What's going on? We're confused. No, we shouldn't be. God, our creator, controls everything. To think that we, as humans, can make up our own destiny, it doesn't work that way. You must follow his plan. He has a plan for each one of us. And those plans are unearthed over a period of time. But you must be alert to what you should be looking for. And not what's in it for me. What's in it for me? No one ever said we have a special place in heaven for you because you want a better deal than everybody else. Sorry, it doesn't work that way. It's a one-way street here. Either you do it God's way or it doesn't exist. We must remember we are put here for a purpose. And we have to remind people of what that purpose is. We must love God and everything he created. That includes all humans. Yes, it's a hard thing to swallow. Humans come in all sizes, shapes, and forms. We are not perfect. But can you learn to accept other humans? If we can't, should we be here on Earth? Sodom and Gomorrah are two examples of what happened over a period of time where people ignored what God wanted. Very simple. If you pretend that God isn't here, will he send a reminder to you? A reminder you might not like. You might be standing on the fault of an earthquake that will open up and swallow you and you'll be forgotten. No one will remember you. You're gone. But that's how God set everything up. You must believe and accept in what he has done. He has created us and given us our humanity. We should be grateful we are humans. We are all alike. We have similar DNA. And yet, we like to say it's our differences that are more important. Baloney. It's what we have in common. And until we realize what we have in common, we won't appreciate the minute differences. Yes, when you disagree with somebody, there are differences. But you weren't designed to agree with everybody. We can still live in peace and have arguments, discussions, and have different viewpoints. No one ever said we were going to condemn you because you have a different viewpoint. Unless, of course, you want to do bad, you want to do evil, humans will collapse on you. They must, because that's everything against what they believe. So we're all looking for a peaceful world to live in, but we have to give up a lot of our individuality to show that we are following what our creator wanted, to love him and everything he created.
That is, while you were talking, I have a Facebook friend, Linda Hedman. I believe she's from America, Little Island, a.k.a. Unified Soul Actualization. And commenting on our dialogue, she said, Amen. He created us, meaning the Almighty Creator created us to make choices. If I choose my way, I fall away from the perfection he treated in his image. If I choose his way, he continues to perfect me. I pray we all choose his way, and I say, Amen. Any comment on that, on what Linda had to say, Dennis?
I mean.
Okay, so now we're going into Mishlei. We've got about 20 minutes to go. We're in chapter 3, verse 20. And the verse we're starting out with kind of connects to what took place this past Friday. And again, I have to check. I thought I saw there was another earthquake today, but we'll have to find out after the show. I don't know if you heard anything, Dennis, about another earthquake today. But anyway, so it says in chapter 3, verse 20, with his knowledge, the
devil... I just want to interrupt. Whenever there's an earthquake, we have found out over the years, there are aftershocks. Sometimes the aftershock is a minute, 2 minutes. Sometimes it's a day. Sometimes it's a week. It can go up to a month even.
Wow.
The aftershocks are the settling of the crust underneath the Earth's surface. And we must remember that that was put together a long, long time ago. And nobody from Earth has ever gone down there and visited. So it's unexpected. We must live our lives that we are good and not thinking that tomorrow is sure. You cannot count that you will be living tomorrow. You wake up in the morning and you find out. Nobody tells you ahead of time. We accept those living conditions as humans. We must abide by them and continue living that way.
Thank you, Dennis. Now, chapter 3, verse 20 states as follows from King Solomon. With his knowledge, the depths were split. Now, on the other hand, and the heavens dripped too. Now, so again, we're talking about, it. King Solomon is very precise here, but dato, with the Creator's knowledge, meaning Creator's knowledge unto himself that we're not really privy to, except which he allows to make accessible to us, which we say of the Torah, some people say other books, other oral traditions, written traditions. But the point is, since the whole world was created with him, therefore we should understand that splits that take place in the depths of the earth are because of the knowledge of the Almighty, and that life-reviving substance called dew, which falls on every part of the earth, it's just a matter of are we cognizant of the fact that dew falls. Now, I want to just mention, I went in 2007 to the area of the Dead Sea, which is the lowest point on earth. And over there, there's hardly ever any rain. And yet, there are bushes and foliage, not in a lot, not in abundance, but there are. And dew falls is the way to moisturize this growth. Now, what happened was, the people living in that area found that if these plants or shrubs or herbs can grow in a place where normally there's no water, that there must be something very sturdy about them. And a lot of these herbs and grasses or foliage became means of creating creams and topical ointments for people to put on their skin who have some sort of skin problem. And also as well, there's an asthma clinic, which I think Holland invested money into it many years ago at the base of the Dead Sea. So people with trouble breathing now, so to speak, the Dead Sea is kind of like the Arizona. The air is very dry. So we see in the lack of environmental fitting conditions of a bounty of rain, there's just dew. So topical creams have been created to help moisturize the skin, to give people healthier skin. Well, otherwise you think, okay, these things are just growing out there. And again, there's an asthma clinic, which probably, I don't know if it preceded the utilization and the implementation of these herbs and foliage into, you know, topical creams to work with skin problems. But Dennis, people don't realize, you know, they look at nature, they don't realize that it's the knowledge of the Creator that facilitates the nuances on each part of the four corners of the globe. Your take on these matters?
Yes, there are differing living conditions depending on where you live on the earth. But we have a saying, God provides. He provides not only for your health, but also for your mental health. Total health is depending on God. There are some places where it doesn't rain. That doesn't stop an underground river from delivering moisture to an area that you don't see. You may see nothing but sand. But then again, we used to have oases. The Bible talks about it. In the middle of a sandy area where it looks like there's no water, it doesn't rain, a spring develops. People get water. Underneath the Earth's crust, just like we have earthquakes, there is water. Water is controlled by God, not by humans. We don't have any control over the Mother Nature at all. That is strictly God's area. He uses it for whatever his purpose is. We only believe that it will only do it for good things. And we hope it works that way. But we believe. We believe in what God has set up in the earth is what is good for humanity. We must believe. We have no choice. But some people still say, what's in it for me? What can I do? Oh, well, I'll go to a specialist and he'll take care of whatever problem I have. Well, my skin is not the way I think it should be, but it's very important. God more important than your skin? Some people think their skin is more important than God. I pity those people because those are people who are what we call short-sighted. They forgot their part of humanity. Every human has skin, and there's different types of skin, different conditions all over the world. And yet, we still thrive. We still have a population increase. And no matter how many wars we have, people are still praying to God. People still go to church. People still want to do a good thing. But eventually, we'll get rid of that concept of what's in it for me. What's in it for me is a selfish statement that you believe you're more important than other humans. It doesn't work that way. It only happens in your mind. You must get rid of that idea and accept, how can I help? Can I help everybody who's in need? Or should I worry about how much money I can put in my pocket today? Which is more important, your pocket or your mind? That's a choice you have to make. It's very simple, but you have to live with it. That's the hard part. I'm sorry to say, there is no easy way of doing things. When we were put on this planet, no one ever said, there's an easy place that you don't have to worry about anything. No, they were describing heaven, which is a different place, a spiritual world. But when you're here on Earth, you're in a human world. Be careful, do good, and do no harm.
Okay. Just to let you know, that we're also, I just found a way that my TikTok is working. We're broadcasting live. We've got about 13 minutes left. So welcome to our TikTok. So we're broadcasting on Blog Talk Radio, and we've been going the whole duration so far on Facebook. Hopefully the audio will be good enough to capture your voice, the golden voice of wisdom. And common sense and ethics and morality. And now on TikTok, your voice should be heard pretty clearly. So we're going to go now to chapter 3, verse 21. King Solomon continues to say, my son, let them not depart from your eyes. Guard sound wisdom and thought. So Ralbag explains that them refers to wisdom, discernment, and knowledge mentioned above, while Ma'iri, another classical commentator on the oral Torah traditions, that refers to sound wisdom and thought which follows it. So the Matsuda David, in terms of what's written there, guard sound wisdom and thought, he says to keep the Torah in good, which is in deed and thought. Now, again, we're coming from a Jewish written and oral Torah tradition, but again, if you have your own particular faith, blessed souls, and there's sound wisdom that you found within your faith-based system, or in your secular society, guard those principles of wisdom, because wisdom has a way of being that little tiny candle in an ocean of darkness, or lack of self-consciousness, or lack of social awareness, to illuminate so many people, so many very brief statements made by people of different ages. You know, Martin Luther King, I have a dream. And I'm not afraid of, you know, I know I'll get to the promised land. The promised land where we're talking about universal redemption, not just in the land of Israel, but the promised land of every nook and cranny of this creation. There's no hatred, jealousy, and neither is competition. So Dennis, What can we do to encourage people? If they found the wisdom that fits their need at that particular time, hopefully we all can grow in wisdom, guard it. Guard it like that allegorical $1 million you have in your bank account that you don't want anyone to know about, but you can access it with one thought to activate that sound wisdom to guard you in this world and also provide guardianship in the world to come at the time of the great judgment on each one of us.
Well, I think what you're talking about here is value. Love of God is the most important value. So those little things that you get pleasure out of because you love God are things that you got to keep for your lifetime. Why? Because those are the things that make us different from other people. We can have values that someone else strung up. We can have values that someone else said, these are the most important values. Yes, but what values do you live by? Those living values are the most important things because they are ours. They are shared by all humans. There is no separate value that one human has that no other human has. Don't believe it. We are in a group of people that populate the earth, have a lot in common. And one of those things is peace of mind, peace of heart. We're always looking for that. Sometimes we don't strive for it, but it comes our way. It's there. You have to see it. Sometimes you have to make sacrifices to get there. I'm sorry to say that you have to make sacrifices. That means you have to give something up that you have that will make you feel like you're part of humanity. Humanity is always there. You can leave it, rejoin it, come back, and you are forgiven. But you must be pure of heart so that when you forgive, there is no strings attached. What's in it for me is no longer a good thing. I'm not saying it's bad, but it distracts you from the good things. So we must stay away from distractions and other things because there is a way. And that's why no matter what religion you have a good book. Any religion you have, you can love God. God accepts love from everybody. He doesn't care who your mother and father were. He cares about you. You alone will be judged to get to the promised land. And when people say the promised land, they're not talking about earth. They're talking about heaven. Heaven is the only promise we as humans can look forward to. And we must remember that's our target. If you can't stay in line to make sure you're on the track to the promised land, I don't know what map you're using. God bless us. Well, that's what my grandmother used to say. God bless us and fit. So
Dennis,
that says it all.
We have someone who joined us on TikTok. His name is it KH? KH, can you hear me?
Sure can.
Yeah, I have on Dennis Ryan. He lives out in Long Island City in America. My name is Don Goodman. And Brooklyn, where are you calling? Where are you tuning in from? Where are you listening from? What part of the earth? Hello, can you hear me?
Can you hear me?
Yeah. Where are you from?
I'm from Pakistan.
From Pakistan, wow. First guest from Pakistan, welcome. So we're talking about wisdom from any faith. I don't know what your faith is. I'm a Jew and Dennis is a Christian. You can identify faith, you don't have to, but what's your idea on wisdom? That if you find a strong wisdom, you have to guard it because it can guard you. Your take on these matters.
You from America?
Yeah.
You Christian?
No, Jew.
Jewish?
Yeah. So he got off. Okay, this person from Pakistan didn't want a dialogue. That's fine. Dennis, one more verse and we'll go forward, okay? Dennis? Dennis? Are you still there? Oi, for some reason we lost Dennis. Now, we're going to end off, blessed souls, we're getting to 4 minutes left in the show. We're disappointed that KH from Pakistan didn't want to dialogue with us. Anyway, chapter 3, verse 21, my son, let them not depart from your eyes and guard sound wisdom and thought, which we just mentioned before. Now, the verse 22 is, they shall be life for your soul and grace for your neck. What is life for your soul? Where is the tree of life, according to Rashi? Oh. Dennis. Dennis.
Hello.
Yeah. So anyway, KH from Pakistan called in through TikTok, but he didn't want to, when he found out that I'm a Jew from America, he dropped the call. Well, I feel sorry that we couldn't get into the dialogue. It would have been interesting, but so be it. Hopefully in the future we'll have dialogue from someone in another part of the world. I believe he could hear you. But anyway, Dennis, we're going to end off with this verse. My son, I'm sorry.
Salam alaikum.
Yep. Well, he left. He left. He left the program. And they shall be light for your soul and grace for your neck. That's chapter 3, verse 22 in Proverbs. And this is referring to longevity or life in the hereafter. So Rabbeinu Yonah talks about, what's his grace for your neck? That symbolizes the acceptance of reproof, meaning we're not concerned that people disagree with us. We're not even concerned that people insult us. I mean, it's a high level. But one who engages in the observance of what they consider to be divine teachings, which we of Israel consider the Torah to be, it's all in written perspectives, will find that when he reproves his others, reproof will find favor. Meaning, regardless of what you're following, if you're following God's word, which filters down into all the nations in this generation, don't be surprised if people accept words, even if it's not your faith. So Dennis, any final comments on the idea of we should be accepting of rebuke or reproof or disagreement? At the same time, too, if we're following God's law and his dictates, we shouldn't be surprised if we can convince other people to reconsider how they perceive the creation and the creator of all creation.
If you are practicing being good, other people will notice you. They will take heed of what you're doing. So you must do good, and other people can follow. We always look around at other humans. We rely on humans. We were not designed to be a species to be all alone. We need other people. And to do that, you must be acceptable. Acceptable means you have no negativity about you. If you have negativity, then you're putting a block between you and other people.
Yeah.
Be good. It works.
So go ahead, Dennis.
Well, what happens is we must practice being good. Other people will look at what you're doing. Other people will understand what you're doing. Will they accept it? Probably not at first, but they're not going to reject it. You cannot reject good. We weren't designed that way. Humanity was put together to be gracious, to be gratifying of God, and to accept all his benefits. We don't pick and choose. We accept. And until we all reach that, we will not understand what humanity is about. There are differences. Just like we have different names. So what? When you are accepted into heaven, no one's going to say, what is your social security number? They don't care. It wasn't part of your living. The one question they'll ask is, were you good? Are you prepared to answer that question? Your whole life depends on it. Bless us and save us.
Amen. Thank you, Dennis, for which I think was a dynamic hour. We're going to end the live stream with TikTok, but we're going to still play out. We have wonderful music to segue out. It's called Klezmer music, which I also call Jews Blues. Okay, before we do that, I just want to wish everyone a wonderful week, a blessed week. Don't worry about the earth quaking, the earth shaking, because in the oven the bed is breaking and the stakes are high for all human beings to reconnect to the divine image and return, as Rabbi Shlomo Kovach sang at the beginning of this program. But we want to end off with our usual segue ending pronouncement of Ahav Echad, one love, Goral Echad, one destiny for all of us, but Dark Kishom, a peaceful, pleasant way. We're ending off with some Jew blues. It's called Jewish klezmer music, relaxing klezmer music. We'll play for the next 3 minutes or so. Everyone have a wonderful week. And again, once again, thanks to our co-host, our Rambam's teacher, student, and disseminator of the teachings of the Rambam, Nesher Godel, the great eagle, Rabbi Moshe Ben Maimon Maimonides. Take care, everyone. Facebook can hear the program, this music, clearly.